God having the power to protect and provide. Boy, that kind of goes with it, doesn't it? So he's the superhero. He's got the power. God's got the power. Do I get an amen? God's got the power. He's got it. He's got it under control. You know, people talk about all these different rights and everything and all these different ways that we can defend ourselves. I'm going to tell you, the number one thing you can do to defend yourself is make sure you're right with God and be following God. And God can defend you. Do you know how many dangers come our way that we don't even see? I wonder how many times God saved my life and I didn't even know I was in danger. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. You know, I mean, man, it is unbelievable. You know, one time a bullet struck my van. A bullet struck my van. It actually went through. You could see where it went through one side and it hit the bumper on the other side of my van and almost went through a solid steel bumper. Now, you go figure that one out. Just a split-second difference, and that bullet would have been going through me. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I didn't even know I was in danger that day. I didn't have a clue. But God knew. God is awesome. He knows what he's doing. We just need to trust God. We really do. We need to trust God. You know, God demonstrated how awesome his power is by the way that he sent Jesus, too. And that's what we're going to look at today. See, he's got the power to protect and provide. Jesus left his power in heaven to prove the power of the Father. Man, I'm going to tell you, the whole Christmas story that we just got through celebrating, I want you to just contemplate that a little bit in your minds. Because I'm going to tell you, his meekness, him coming as that little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem, as we sang that song. You want to think about that little bitty baby. Man, there is nothing in the world more defenseless than a little bitty baby. How many of you guys have held a newborn baby? You've held a newborn baby. How many have you held a newborn baby, like, lately? I know I got some hands that'll go up in the room on that one, too. I mean, just like within a few days. We've been experiencing our little baby grandson, Joshua. And, man, I'm going to tell you, he's getting close to 2 months old now, and he still is so tiny. He is still so defenseless. You know, they're so defenseless, they can't even hold up their head, right? They everything is brand new to them. They couldn't defend themselves if their life depended on it, honestly. And that's how Jesus came to the world. I want you to think about that. Contemplate that. The Lord of glory coming to the world in that way. But I'm going to tell you, the Father was there to defend him. And there is no one, you know, that can overcome the Father. In fact, as we look at this, we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to read a passage from Matthew chapter 2. We're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter because this really speaks of God's power to protect and provide Jesus. But I want you to think about how Jesus left his power in heaven. And we're going to kind of see it as we read through this. He didn't insist on his own power in any of this. He came as a defenseless little baby. And we already read about his birth and how he came and how God worked it out. And it even proved out many prophecies. And now we're going to jump up to Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now let's stop for a minute. Let's think about these wise men. I know we've already talked about this a little bit this Christmas, but I want you to think about these wise men. They came from the east, and they had some knowledge. They obviously had some knowledge about the Bible, okay? They had some knowledge. They didn't just see a star and then just blindly start following the star. I mean, they had some idea that this star was marking a time when a king was going to be born, okay? And so they had some understanding. That's why they came. That's why, I'm going to tell you, these wise men, now we don't know for sure how many there were. We always show three because we know they had three gifts. Well, we're not sure. We know there was more than one because they're wise men, so it has to be two or more. There, you know, for all we know, there could have been 50 of them. We don't know, but we know they brought three gifts. Okay? Now, these wise men showed how wise they were because they went to great lengths to come and find this king. And so our sign down the road, you know, wise men still worship Jesus. I want you to be wise men and women. I want you to continue to worship Jesus. Go to any length you have to find him and find a close relationship with him. Do you ever get to feeling like your relationship isn't as close as it should be? You ever get to feeling that way? Well, see, a wise man or a wise woman is going to do what they have to do to get closer to Jesus, okay? So whatever sacrifice you got to make, I say you make it. I think that shows great wisdom. Well, these wise men were wise, and they came looking for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, they came from the east, and they were going to stop at nothing to make sure they found him. It shows how wise they were. In verse 2, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Now, how in the world could they have known that title had it not been for knowing the Scriptures? How could those in the east have known the Scriptures? You had Daniel, right? And where was Daniel taken? He was taken to the northeast of Jerusalem, you know, and he was taken into enemy territory. But do you remember something about Daniel? He was a prophet who lived for God. In fact, they tried to kill him. They threw him into a den of hungry lions. And they knew they could trap him this one way. They could trap him by saying that he couldn't worship his God because they knew he was going to worship his God. So I'm going to tell you, Daniel took his relationship with God with him no matter where he went. A man like Daniel in the court of the wise men, you remember? He was in that court of wise men. I believe he shared what he knew about God, and it got carried down through the ages, through the centuries. And these men were holding on to that fact that there was going to come a king. And it wouldn't have just been like the book of Daniel that we read. It would have been, you know, they had Jeremiah, and they had all the Old Testament before that. They had many of these different prophetic books. And so I believe that these men knew and understood it because Daniel was a witness, and it planted a seed, I really believe, that what we see here today is fulfillment of much of that. And so like the Jews were scattered all over the world during that time because of their exile to Babylonia. And Babylonia owned all the known world around that area. And so what we know is the Jews went where they went, but they took their God with them. And they lived it. And this is proof in this story that we're reading today. And so these wise men, they said, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come," man, here it is, "to worship him." I think we should worship Jesus. And as Maddie said, only Jesus. Only God should we worship. Very good. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And it says all Jerusalem with him. Well, let's just say whenever the king's troubled and he's a very violent man, everybody is scared. Okay? That's what that means, I believe. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" I got a question for you. These were the wise men of Jerusalem that he's speaking to here. Why didn't these wise men, why weren't they wise enough to go search for Jesus? You ever think about that? It was their king who was born, and they didn't even care. They didn't even go looking for him. In fact, they've got these guys who came from a long ways off and said, "We saw his star, we know he's been born. Where would he be born?" And they tell him, "You can go to Bethlehem, you'll probably, that would be the place." And yet they didn't go. I think it kind of represents the church today. Guys, oftentimes we know the way to God, but we don't even bother. Man, I think real true wise men bother. And these wise men, they were wiser than the wisest people in Jerusalem. They were wiser than them because they went. And then Herod, verse 7, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also." Well, we know that wasn't his intention. In verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, you, you, mark that word, treasures. You see, if you're going to worship Jesus, you need to give Him the best of what you have. Don't you dare give Him your leftovers. You give Him the treasures of who you are. And that's what these men did. This is what worship looks like. But we're going to see what that means later. They gave their treasures. They presented gifts to Him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Oh, another prophecy being fulfilled. Isn't it amazing how God works? Let's pray. Dear God, pray that you would teach us through this passage of Scripture today about your protection and your provision. We see your hand all over this, Lord. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at these, I want you to take in mind and just keep in mind this one Scripture from Matthew 6, 31 through 33. This is words that Jesus spoke in a Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And I'm just going to say, that's what Jesus taught after He had grown up. Before He even had a chance to teach it, His mom and His adopted dad were living it. You see, they were seeking first the kingdom of God. They were seeking God's righteousness. They were seeking to please God, and God took care of all those things. I want you to see how God took care of it. You see, Jesus came, you know, by all rights in the human figure, He came defenseless. Okay? He couldn't just defend Himself. The next slide there. He couldn't just defend Himself. He would have to be protected. He would have to be protected. In fact, we see it there in Luke 2. 11 through 12, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you." This is what the angel said to the shepherd. "You will find a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Of course, we discussed this. This is a feed trough. This is like, guys, I'm going to tell you, God didn't even provide a sterile place for Him to be born, okay? This is how dangerous this whole story is. You know, we have babies in hospital rooms because we want everything sterile. He was born in a barn. He was so defenseless. And yet, the Father was taking care of Him perfectly through all this. If He had been born in some big fanfare somewhere, and there would have been a whole lot of attention, we all know Herod would have been after Him immediately. But as it was, He gave Him a chance to grow a little bit, kind of kept Him under wraps until these wise men come along. But I'm going to tell you, the Father had His hand of protection and provision all over this thing. Let's look at the next slide as we kind of move through here. Ways the Father gave for protection and provision. Number one, He gave Him Joseph. Guys, Jesus didn't need a father to be born. Amen. His father was God. Amen. Do I get that? All right. He was born to a virgin. That means there was no earthly daddy involved in this. Amen. That's what made this whole birth something very unusual. And there's a big teaching that comes from that, that therefore he didn't have the sin seed and all of this. And I think it's true. He was of some different substance that he might be able to completely resist sin in this world, because no other man from the time of Adam on has ever completely resisted sin and lived a perfect life. No one could be the sacrifice. Only Jesus came to be the sacrifice. And so he didn't need Joseph to be born, but I'm telling you, God gave him Joseph as a daddy to protect him. This tells us something about the family structure, and we want to grab onto that. He also gave him angels. Amen? Angels. Look at how many times angels are found in the Christmas story. They made the announcement of the birth. They made the announcement. This angel made the announcement to Joseph, take this young woman to be your wife. It wasn't for Joseph's sake to do it. It wasn't because there was something in it for him. In fact, it was all sacrifice on his part. But you see, God gave him a high calling, and he gave him character that went along with that. And then Joseph exercised that. And man, what an awesome thing. But he gave him those angels too. We look at the angels who are bringing the warnings, bringing the guidance, bringing that to Joseph. We're going to study that in a minute. And then the Father to provide and protect. To protect, but that provide especially. He gave Jesus, Joseph, and Mary the wise men. What an amazing thing that he did. And so let's just kind of break it down a little bit. We'll take Joseph first, since he's number one here. What were his qualifications for this? If we look there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, and I went ahead and underlined it because I think this is where the emphasis is, being a just man. You see, his one qualification was that he was a just man. He sought God's kingdom more than his own. He was a just man. He was a good man. His heart was good before the Lord. Why? Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. And that's why he didn't want to make a public example of Mary when he found out she was pregnant. He went to the obvious assumption that any man would have. My betrothed wife has cheated on me. If she's pregnant, that means only one thing, that she's cheated on me. But he did not. He was a just man. He wanted to be right in God's eyes, so he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He didn't want her maybe even stoned to death, but he just wanted to deal with it quietly is what that means. And because he was a just man, I'm going to tell you something, guys, and this is for all of us men out here. God could use him. God could use this man, because this was a humble man. He was a just man. He was a quiet man in God's sight. He wasn't looking for what can I get out of this for me. He was a just man wanting to be like God. God used this man. I'm going to tell you something. This man, part of his being a just man, meant he believed God. The next slide here. He believed God. You see, he believed God, and faith obeys. Faith obeys God every time. If you say you have faith, then you should be able to show how you obey God. Because that's what faith does. Faith is belief in action. Faith is belief that really means something. Faith is heart belief. It changes who you are. And I'm going to tell you something you see about Joseph here in Matthew chapter 2. He obeyed without delay. You see, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother, when? By night. And he departed for Egypt. I'm telling you, immediately Joseph obeyed, just like he had obeyed before. You see, faith obeys. Faith obeys every time. In fact, we look at Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How do we know Abraham believed God? Because he did what God said. When God said, leave your family, he left. And You know, he had a little more of a delay there, but I'm going to tell you, his faith was proved out by the fact he did what God said. Now, on the other hand, whenever God said, sacrifice your son, take him up on the mountain, he can't be before me, Abraham, it says, early the next morning, he did as God had commanded him. He took him up on the mountain. Of course, we know the story. God provided the sacrifice. Praise God. He didn't have to actually follow through with sacrificing his son Isaac, but in a spiritual sense, he had to give him to God. Parents, I want you to hear that. We all have to give our children to God. They have to belong to God before they belong to us. We're not the owners, God is. We're just the stewards. And I'll tell you, we will give an account for how we steward. You see, God sent that daddy. He sent a daddy to take care of Jesus. Now, we know he had a mommy too, but whenever it came time for protection, God didn't send the angel to Mary. He didn't send the angel to Mary and say, Mary, now I want you to talk your husband into doing the right thing here. Uh-oh. That ever happened in any of our homes? Come on now, I need a witness here. It's happened in my home a few times. Guys, here's the deal. God went straight to the leader. And he said, man, it's time for you to lead. And you know what? It's going to be a sacrifice. And you know what? It ain't going to be comfortable. And you don't even know how this thing's all going to work out, but don't worry, I'll give you the next word. You just do what I tell you until you get the next word. And I think that's where we are, dads. We need to be that way with our families. Amen? We need to be that way with our families. We need to be the leaders. We need to be the protectors. We need to be out there providing and protecting whatever way we can. And I can tell you, protection is more than just money. Okay? It's more than just physical strength, guys. It's that spiritual protection you put over your family every day that really, really counts. Lead them in their spiritual walk. Guys, what good is it for us to protect them this side of heaven if they don't find Jesus in this life? We'll live forever in heaven without him. That's not good. We want them to get Jesus more than anything. That's the number one way that we can protect the children. And that goes out to all of us as men. We all have children under our influence. God chose you, men, to be that to children. He wants you to be like Joseph. Number two, he chose angels. He actually sent angels into this deal. Man, this is amazing. We see that. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This angel appeared. Now, they had experiences like this before. We know that Zacharias heard from an angel. We know that Mary heard from an angel. We know that Joseph heard from an angel. But the thing of it was, this was kind of in a dream. It would have been easy to explain away. Amen? Do you ever have dreams? And sometimes you wake up and they seem kind of real, but then you can talk yourself out of it pretty quick. It's amazing that this man heard this angel, and this angel was convincing enough to him that he got up, gathered them up, and left. And I'm going to tell you, by the way the rest of the story goes, it sounds like a good thing they did. They didn't have much time, and they didn't even realize it. But what they knew is we need to obey this angel. This angel means a messenger. This was a messenger from God who came and brought a message. And so I want to ask you something. Like, Jesus had this angel watching out over him. Is this something that's unusual, or is this something that's sort of common for all children? I'm going to tell you, Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now, little ones here, I've heard debated, because he's kind of talking about young Christians too. So some people would say, well, this don't really mean children. I think it means both. I think it means little ones as far as all these beautiful children, defenseless ones. But I think it also means young Christians, too, because we're like little children of faith. We need protection, amen? And so what I'm telling you is, listen to the rest of this. I think, yes, this does mean children as well. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So do they have angels watching out for them? I do believe. And I believe we better be careful how we deal with the little ones, don't you think? Because earlier in Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6, it says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I'm going to tell you, not only those little ones have angels watching out for them, Jesus is saying that in the last day, you'd be better off to like be taken out of the world than for you to be left here and hurt one of those children, hurt one of those little ones. So we need to listen. We need to be serious about this thing. God gives us these children. They're a huge responsibility. God sent Jesus in the same defenseless form, and he shows us, man, he can protect them. And he wants to use us just like he used them in that day. And yes, there's angels involved. Praise God. I praise God that I've got an angel watching over me. I really believe. And I believe every one of you do as well, and especially those defenseless ones. So I believe that we should take heed. These angels are powerful as well. And so he sent Joseph, the daddy. He has sent angels who are powerful to take care of them. And he the two actually interacted in this. And then number three, he sent the wise men. So like if you're gonna pick Jesus up as a little child born to some very poor parents, and you're gonna have to get him out of Dodge, and you're gonna have to get him out of town real quick and fast and in a hurry, they're gonna have to have something to provide for them, right? You can't just run off to Egypt and not have any way of provision. And so whenever they came into the house, these wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures means valuable, you see, they presented him gifts to him. The first one was gold. What's gold good for? Yeah. Our country actually used to go on the gold standard. Gold represented every penny that we had in our economy. There was something to back it up because gold always has value. Gold is pure and it always has value. So he gave them money. They gave them money, gold. They also gave them this frankincense and myrrh. And I believe the frankincense and myrrh were also speaking toward anointing him for the burial that he was going to have in the future, but they were also extremely valuable. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be exiled into a foreign country for a while and you don't know how long, it would be awfully reassuring to know that you had been provided for. Amen. So God sent these messengers from heaven and these messengers from the east to come and worship and gave him a daddy to protect him and provided everything they were going to need for their exile. Praise the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What do I pray for my children most of all? A lot of people think, you know, maybe you should pray for greatness, for a great education and a great job. I pray that my children will be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they're sold out to Jesus, all those other things are going to be added unto them. Amen? And so, I pray the same for you today. No matter where you are or what you're doing, put God first. And you know what? God can protect you and provide for you just like he did for his little baby son when he sent him. God's got the same power still. Miraculous provision. That came from God's powerful hand. Let me pray for us. Dear God, I pray that we will depend on you, that we will use this story, this account that we have read. This is not just a fictional story that we're reading. It is an account of an actual event that happened. You were going to call Jesus down to Egypt and back up from Egypt. And so you brought the provision ahead of time. For the wise men, it must have seemed like they had gone a long ways, and maybe they were going to be too late. Maybe they were not going to find this king in time. They weren't sure exactly where he was or anything, but Lord, you were controlling it. You were taking care of all the details. They were just along for the ride. They were just being faithful. Faithful to what you sent them there to do. Joseph must have marveled at the thought of taking care of the Son of God. I mean, how can I do that? But he was just being faithful to do what he needed to do that day. And Lord, you directed his every step. So how can we live this Christian life? Just literally by being faithful. The first thing we've got to do is commit our hearts to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we'll do that first thing, He'll take care of the rest. You don't just do it magically while we sit on our thumbs. We just go from day to day, getting our marching orders from You and depending on You to provide. Some people are afraid to tithe. Some people are afraid to give generously in other ways. Some people are afraid to give their time. Some people are afraid to give their children to God. But what I hear from this message today, from Your word, is whatever belongs to You, You take care of. So the smartest, wisest thing we can ever do is give it to You, just like those wise men gave You the richest of their treasures. Wow, did You ever take care of that? How amazing. So Lord, help us to be the same. Help us to not fear giving it all to You, because as soon as we do that, You'll take care of it, right down to our eternal life. If You can take care of my eternity, I know You can take care of my right now. And so Lord, help us to be willing to trust You for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.